This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. In a market with just 32 million people, are 21 direct general insurance companies one too many? Is that perhaps why there has been consolidation in this sector? Or is the market still underpenetrated? A question we asked Puneet Paricha, who is the CEO of Liberty Insurance, who will also be telling us if he sees InsurTech as a great disruptor, or is there room for everybody? Thanks for joining us this morning, Puneet. Now, let's start with the most recent headlines, which is that Liberty Insurance Malaysia will be acquiring M General Insurance for 2.29 billion ringgit via 70% cash and 30% equity. Can you give us an update on this? Has the deal been finalized?
I mean, Xiaoning, first of all, thanks for having me over. It's a pleasure joining you on the show. It's my first time with you. And I like the fact that you start with a bang. And you start with the question, which probably I will have a problem commenting on too much. It is inappropriate at this point of time, to be honest, because yes, we have made the announcement. We've read it in the press. But we've also applied with the regulator. And while the application is still with the regulator, it's not appropriate for me to comment on this at this point of time.
But before the deal was done, I'm sure there was a lot of thinking behind this. So, you know, what was the synergy here? I mean, was it because it will propel Liberty Insurance to become the largest motor insurer in Malaysia and second largest for property and casualty insurance?
Yes, that is true. As per 2020 data, we will be the largest motor insurer and the second largest insurer in Malaysia if the deal was to go through, yes.
Okay.
The regulator was to give us approval, yes.
All right, because on paper, I would say the price looks right. I mean, it looks very reasonable. It's roughly done at about 1.4 times price to book. And the last few insurance deals were in the range of 1.7 to 2 times. So is the thinking here at Liberty Insurance buy to get the size you want rather than grow organically because it's much faster?
You know, Xiaoning, I love your persistence.
But I can only try.
Not gonna be talking on the deal at this point of time. But hey, open offer. You want to come collaborate with us and lead my distribution? Fair enough. I love your persistence from that standpoint.
But I think always after every deal comes the harder part. You know, Puneet, is it going to be integration, which is going to be your biggest headache? Because it's a bit of a clash of a culture, right? So Liberty is American. M General is a combination of MMB and also Australia's largest general insurer, Insurance Australia Group. Do you see that going to be a bit of a challenge? And isn't it a case of Liberty, who is maybe smaller than M General, acquiring, so smaller acquiring bigger? Is that going to be an issue?
Again, as I said, we're running too ahead of ourselves. Let's wait for the regulator to give us approval. And then, as I said, we can talk all you want about integration and the deal going forward.
But I think there's one obvious advantage to this deal happening. And I can see it from a perspective of regulatory and also compliance, because there is this 70% foreign ownership cap that has been imposed by Bank Negara, which currently Liberty probably doesn't fulfill. So with this acquisition, won't that issue be resolved?
You know, Xiaoning, irrespective of this acquisition, I think that's a requirement which the regulator has. And the way Liberty looks at it is we will be complying with the requirement going forward, irrespective. So agnostic of the deal, that's the way we will be looking at it.
So what do you think? Okay, maybe you can't comment on your deal. But what about the deals that have just happened? I mean, is this indication of how difficult the market is? There is an ongoing deal now, which is XR General and XR Life. They're for sale and they were eventually bought by Generali. What does it say about the industry? Because it's not very often you have so many big M&A deals in 1 year.
Well, I guess the industry is heading towards consolidation. We saw that in banking happened a few years back as well. We've seen that in other markets, and I think globally everyone's making their strategic plays as per their overall strategy. So this is something I can't comment whether forward-looking, whether we would see more consolidation. But right now, yes, as you say, there have been two deals announced. And let's see how the market pans out, how competition pans out, In fact, going forward from a market standpoint, I think there will be new entrants coming in. We are seeing that. We are aware that there are certain banks who are applying for digital licenses. I wouldn't be surprised if there are some insurtechs which look at entering Malaysia. We've seen that in other parts of the world where we operate, where Liberty operates. We've seen that in China, for sure. I think China is a much more evolved, mature market from an insurtech standpoint. And then we can talk more about it. I mean, we have some good examples there in terms of Ping An, Chong An, and how they've gone about it. And there's some clear examples there. But I think that's what's going to happen in Malaysia as well going forward. So that is something which we can expect and will be good for the market.
So you're basically saying that competition is actually going to heat up. Do you then see price wars happening then, you know, for everyone to kind of almost not only just even retain their market share, but grow their market share? Because there are question marks about how much more the Malaysian market can grow, right? We're, like I said earlier on, is the population 32, 33 million? You know, penetration rate for general insurance, something, some products are already compulsory, let's say motor if you have a car. So where is really growth going to come from then?
You know, while you say it's a small market, yes, in terms of population, yes. In terms of market size, we're around 5 billion. In terms of overall premium, and I'm talking about the general insurance market here specifically, right? But if you see, the penetration is low as well. And that's something which we need to be mindful of. That means, or what it tells you is that there is an upside for growth. That's one. Number two is, you talk about price, right? You know, a few years ago, until de-tarification started, motor, let's talk about motor, was a pretty commoditized kind of a product. And then de-tarification has obviously started the journey in terms of companies being able to price products appropriately in terms of the risk. Right? So that is something which we have started seeing. But also what it has done is it has allowed the companies, or it has actually made the companies start thinking about innovation in terms of products and offering better service. As the customer in Malaysia, and I firmly believe this, the customer in Malaysia is getting more informed. And is valuing not only price, but in terms of coverage and services.
I want to get back to this de-tarification, because related to this was an earlier statement by PIAM, the General Insurance Association, of which you're a member, right? They said that motor insurance is not profitable because motor loss ratios are high. So is this a case for Liberty too?
I think it's a general industry phenomena. And the reason, sometimes it's good to step back and see the reasons, right? Mm. We had de-tarification come a few years back, you know, in two sense, 2017, right? But it was a step in the right direction. First of all, I think it was a step in the right direction because, as I mentioned, for the reasons, for both the insurers and the policyholders, it makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
Insurers are able to lean on risk-based pricing, and it forces them to start looking at products and services as well. In terms of the policyholder or the customer, right, the good drivers actually are able to benefit from a better pricing. So that's something which they see. And then obviously having access to better services, etc. Now, ideally, the second phase of de-tarification, one would have seen maybe 2 or 3 years after, because right now we still are in the first phase where there is a band, if you may call it.
Yeah, a plus minus 10%, right?
10%,
yes.
Right? Now, what a lot of people don't see is that the second phase did not come. And again, it's because of circumstance. Actually, 2020 was going to be the year for the next phase. And then 21 further off, right? But yes, circumstances and priorities had to be changed and looked at, right? But what people don't realize is, and then folks don't realize this, that there is something called inflation every year, right? And then because of this factor of inflation and the band being so tight, the pricing just doesn't add up from that standpoint for companies to start getting profitable from a motor standpoint.
So is this a loss leader for you then? At Liberty
not
Insurance.
Really, not really, not really. Now, this is where I'm going, right?
Mm.
However, if you are able to... there is... We are looking only at the loss ratio right now.
Yeah.
And there's a big component of expenses as well, right? And if from that standpoint, as a company, and this is what Liberty has done, right, it is able to invest appropriately into more better capabilities in terms of digital, it actually starts reducing your expenses. Right? It starts giving you access to more channels than the traditional channels. Traditionally, it's agency, and agency will still remain critical, right? You've had your franchise relationships, and they will remain critical. But I think digital, it's ripe for growth. And I think if you've invested enough in from a digital standpoint in terms of making your processes simpler, making your internal operations more efficient, I think you can start making that difference in the expense side and actually making a difference on your motorbook. That's one.
Okay.
Number two is also, I think, as any business would do, you have to play in the right segments, right? From a motor, and if you start breaking it up into segmental analysis, I think there are pockets where you can actually do pretty well, give value-added services, and still make money. So I think it's an overall game, and you've got to probably look at it in a more holistic manner than just de-tarification, honestly.
What is the strategy then? So from what I hear, it's basically choose your market segment carefully. But is it market share that you're after, or is it margins that you're after? I mean, what is the KPI here?
So the way Liberty is looked at, business performance, if you may call it, right, is across two financial metrics. It's profitability and growth. It's not that we will only go for scale. I think it's that these are two, right? The other piece is Liberty looks at operations or businesses in markets wherever we exist from a long-term standpoint. I don't think we look at it from a short-term aspect.
On the Breakfast Grill today is Puneet Parecha, CEO of Liberty Insurance Malaysia. When we come back, how will this company manage the democratization of insurance products? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Puneet Parecha, who is the CEO of Liberty Insurance Malaysia. Just before the break, we were talking about their announced acquisition of M General Insurance and perhaps some of the synergies. Now, Puneet, I want to go back to, unfortunately, COVID-19. I mean, it's still with us. I want to know, is Liberty Travel and PA policies providing coverage against this virus? Because we hear very few insurance companies are doing so.
Travel is not a product which has been a huge product for us. So at this point of time, we are not offering the COVID insurance, as you're calling it.
Why not, though? I'm wondering, is that, okay, other than the fact that it's considered a small segment of your business, so I can assume it's probably, what, less than 10% of your sales, or in terms of written premiums, is it because of the complexity of the pricing that you struggle with?
No, I think from a travel standpoint, it's not the complexity which we struggle with. It's just one of those strategic plays. We decided, we felt SMEs is where we wanted to go. And I think SMEs was where there was less penetration.
Okay.
And I think that's where we think we can improve the penetration. That's where we can leverage on best practices from other parts of our operations across other markets. And that's the path we chose, honestly.
All right. So it's a more on focus of business insurance rather than travel and personal accident. What's the growth you're looking at, since you say, you know, you want to focus on SMEs? I mean, how are you targeting this market? And is there any particular kind of business? Because SMEs, if anything, right, have been the most affected by COVID-19. So for them, every cent counts. Cash flow is really tight. How do you appeal to them that, hey, you should buy insurance?
From an SME standpoint, if you look at it, the ones who have taken the brunt, to be honest, especially this year, because of the prolonged nature of lockdowns, right? It's definitely, I think, dented them financially and otherwise, and getting business back up, back on their feet, right? And I think if you look at SMEs, right, the predominant product till date was always fire.
Yeah.
Right? and to some extent burglary, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way the sector was. What COVID did was it actually identified a couple of areas where there were gaps. And I think the big one came on business interruption.
Mm.
And I think that's where they really felt the impact of the pandemic. Right? And I think that's an area, and that's an area which Liberty is looking at, extending a product which would make more sense. Now, we can't just take a normal standard business interruption product for a large corporate and just say, hey, one size fits all. Right? And I think that's where we need to sit with them. And we were going to start on a consumer survey. And unfortunately, the lockdowns delayed it. But the way we are looking at it, and this is part of our win with digital initiative as well, I think it is the most important to first hear what the consumer really wants.
So have you launched any such products, or is it just currently?
Nothing as yet. I mean, not for the SME.
I want to go back to this democratization of insurance, because what I have noticed in the last 3-4 years, and increasingly even more recently, is its availability across multiple platforms. So in the past, when you wanted to buy an insurance product, you either went to a bank or perhaps you went to your regular agent. But now you can do it via Grab, you know, and they have a partnership with Chubb. Boost, for example, has a partnership with Great Eastern, and even mobile phone operators are increasingly looking at this space. I mean, it was a novelty at the beginning, but now it's so super common. So, but the issue is all these players have deep pockets with partnerships with major insurance players. So these bite-sized insurance products are now increasingly available and very attractive to the younger demographics. So can you compete with them in the long run? Because they also have technology, they have data, and they have the right partner.
Oh, fair enough. I think you have new insurtechs coming in all over the world. We've seen that happen, and that's fine. But I think where Liberty probably has a competitive edge, I think personally, is digital has been a big transformation for us since 2018. We had sat at that time, and we said, okay, how do we get a competitive edge? And then the writing was on the wall that we needed to be a tech and digital driven company. And that's what we've done over the years.
So how much of your sales is done via these digital platforms own digital platforms versus the traditional methods of agency force?
When I'm talking digital, right, I mean it's digital is a pretty broad term.
Okay, so it's beyond sales.
It's beyond just sales as well. But what capabilities we bring, if we can marry our digital experiences, and then we did a pilot last year. We did a pilot last year on digital, where we had a collaborative task force put in place, right from analytics to a marketing team, from an operations standpoint and distribution to see. So we have some learnings, and that's something which is in the works. But I also feel there is a play in the adjacent space where company can actually partner with other companies to create a more efficient ecosystem. Right?
So are you partnering with anybody then?
And that is something which we are actually in. We're probably right there. There is something which we are working on with a couple of companies who are not in insurance. I'm not going to go too much into details on that one for strategic reasons.
Could they be like digital banks, or are you talking like e-wallet players? Or
So we are looking at partnering with folks, again, adjacent space. It's not financial services.
Oh, okay.
Where we can probably see how can we create a more effective digital ecosystem which provides a customer the opportunity to not only buy a non-insurance product, but also buy insurance to marry with that product in a more packaged fashion, right? It's not necessary that Liberty be worried about insurtechs. Honestly, I think they have their own advantages, but we have the advantage of legacy capabilities, ability to marry big data with digital.
Okay, because I want to get some idea of how important is this digital efforts going to be, because 6 months, you wrote 290 million written premiums, right? Gross written premiums. How much of that can be attributed to agency force? And the reason why I ask this is, as a company embarks on selling through other platforms, do you then run the risk of antagonizing what is probably your biggest sales channel?
Not really, you know. Honestly, yes, agency is our key partner.
Would you say they are 50% of written premiums, if not more?
They're probably more. So definitely. But you know, there's this talk about channel cannibalization, which happens all the time. Right? That is where you have to start differentiating products, doing a product with all the bells and whistles. Because that is something which your agent as a partner is able to take forward in the market more effectively because they take a consultative approach with the customers. But then there are these, you have a different bunch of customers, the millennials, who value convenience. Insurance coverage is also dictated by life events. So if you're younger, you typically don't want all of it. So that is where I think the products need to be designed and can be designed. And that is something which we are already working on.
Now, is the other challenge that Liberty faces investment income? Because for the last 6 months, it was 17 million. For the same period last year, it was 22 million. I mean, what's being done on that front? Because, you know, OPR in Malaysia is 1.75%. And I think you mainly invest in fixed income, isn't it?
Yes, that's something which we look at from a strategic standpoint. I think, as I mentioned, Liberty looks at long-term sustainability. That's where we've taken a stand globally as a company. That is our strategy moving forward, to keep investing in fixed income rather than playing more on equity.
Okay, but does that mean it's going to be a challenge to manage asset liability?
I don't think so. And I say that because I think from a capital position standpoint, from a CAR standpoint, even pre-COVID, and I'm not even talking about COVID. Yes, COVID is an anomaly. Even pre-COVID, we've been very well capitalized. Historically, our CAR has stood at around 250 to 260% range, which is much more than not only from a regulatory standpoint, but it actually holds us in good stead to reinvest in growth and reinvest in products and services for the customers moving forward. So investment is just one part of the puzzle. As I mentioned, we got to look at the bigger picture.
And your expectations for next year in terms of gross written premiums, is it going to go back to pre-COVID levels? What kind of growth are you going to expect?
I'm not going to give any forward-looking statements here, but what I can, it looks like you've probably heard this before, right? But what I am going to, maybe detail out is some of the focus areas which we will be looking at. Definitely keep consolidating our position in motor, leveraging our distribution practices, leveraging a more agile underwriting infrastructure, leveraging digital for sure, right? The other focus area is going to look at offering more non-motor products, diversify our portfolio and expand that part of our business. Win with digital remains at the core of what we do. And when I say win with digital, the three priorities which we're looking at is improving internal efficiencies, elevating the customer and partner experience, and reducing expenses. Claims always will remain the key moment of truth. For God's sake, we are in the business of paying claims. That's something which we will look at our claims excellence journey. And I think the most important is what I've always believed in, our biggest asset, which is people and organizational development. I think people is our biggest asset, and we will keep investing in them to create a more diverse and inclusive workforce. So I think these are the broad areas which we will be focusing on. That's what I can share with you on that, but I will still not make projections on top line.
On that note, thank you for your time today. And Breakfast Grill was Puneet Paricha, CEO of Liberty Insurance Malaysia. I'm Wong Xiaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.